Welcome to the Baby Weight Podcast, brought to you by Omaha Better Birth Project. Omaha Better Birth Project is a nonprofit organization. Our mission is to decrease inequities in childbirth by providing access to doula services, childbirth education, and prenatal and postpartum support for low-income and teen families. Find out more about Omaha Better Birth Project online at www.omahabetterbirth.org. Everybody, welcome back to the Baby Weight Podcast. On today's episode, Emily and I are going to dive into our experience of returning to work after having a baby, specifically pumping at work and what that was like for us. Before we get started today, we would just like to remind you, if you have any questions or concerns about lactation, please see a lactation professional. This is not medical advice. So Emily and I were both lucky enough to get 12 weeks of leave with our kiddos, with each one of our kiddos. But after those 12 weeks, we did return to work. And when you return to work and you want to continue your lactation journey, it poses its own sort of unique set of challenges.
Yeah.
What kind of things stick out to you, Emily, that challenged you when you went back to your workplace?
I had quite a few significant challenges, I think, just trying to navigate this new workflow that I had to manage. You know, you're coming off of 12 weeks out of the office. You're trying to get back into it. And then you're also adding in this new schedule of, oh, I have to pump every 2 hours or every 3 hours, whatever it may be. And for me, a lot of it, I work in the healthcare field. And so a lot of it for me was feeling guilt about, you know, my coworkers are busy. They're running their butts off. And here I am being like, okay, I'm going to grab my stuff and leave. I'll be back in 20 minutes or whatever it may be.
It can make a world of difference if your coworkers are supportive. So if your coworkers are supportive, it can really lessen that guilt on you. But if you find your coworkers or your boss even more so aren't supportive, man, that can really weigh on some people.
Well, and I think that it's really unfortunate because places are required by law to give you what they would determine a reasonable amount of time to pump. Right. Now, we all know that a reasonable amount of time is different for each individual. It can take people, you know, different amounts of time.
Yeah.
And some people will only pump every 4 hours and some will pump every two. It just depends on, you know, what their babies do. But for me, I think that it's really hard coming from a place of, like you said, if you don't have supportive staff. I was lucky enough to have supportive coworkers, but I couldn't imagine. I've heard of people saying, you know, that they didn't get a chance to pump in 8 hours because they were busy and their boss wouldn't send somebody to cover them. And it happens more than I think that we realize.
Yeah, definitely. One of the biggest barriers for me, or I guess not barrier, but a challenge was after my first baby, when I went back to work, we did not have sufficient pumping facilities at my work. Yeah. Mind you, I worked at a major medical center. So that itself is kind of sad. But I was essentially in a tiny little closet down on the dock where all of the maintenance and facilities people worked.
Oh, relaxing.
Yeah. I think that played a major part in why I didn't pump for very long. It was a stressful place to be, and I could not relax enough to pump.
Right.
And so at my personal workplace, it has gotten so much better. There was an entire committee made, and there's now fantastic pumping lactation rooms across the campus that are incredible now. And I'm really thankful for that. I actually told my boss, I had the same boss after my second baby too. And I had told them if they hadn't updated the pumping facilities, I would not have come back to that place.
Really?
It was because I was determined to feed my baby breast milk. So that was a big thing for me. So I do know a lot of people struggle. Their workplaces don't give any space. Right. They're told to go pump in the bathroom or, you know, hopefully you can find someone's office that's empty or something like that. And that is a level of stress that lactating parents do not need.
Absolutely. Well, and just a little bit of information for the listeners too. The break time for nursing mothers law was passed in 2010, and that is a law that states that providers must provide a private space other than a bathroom to pump. And I think it's important to know these things when you're going in. You can, I would hate to say go in armed, because that's, you don't need to be defensive.
You don't
want to
be in a fight. Yeah.
Right. But to go in knowing what you're entitled to as a lactating person and the rights that you have is completely, I mean, I think it changes people's whole perspective on things.
Yeah, and I know several parents who have come and said, you know, they work for smaller companies, and the company they work for just didn't even know that this is something that they needed to do. And so, you know, they shared this information with their employers, and they were able to get the space that they needed, you know. Yeah. And I think that's a lot of it, too, because our society here in America, everyone over in the UK and Europe looking at us like, you have what? But in our society, pumping at work, the rights of individuals who are pumping at work is a new thing.
Yeah.
Relatively new within the last 5 to 10 years.
Yes.
So a lot of workplaces are still learning right now.
Right. And if they, it's really to no fault of their own. If they haven't had a lactating person that comes up to them and says, I need these things, they don't know.
True.
And so really, you don't, that's another thing that I would say is reach out to your employer before you go back to work.
Yes.
Give them ample time and say, I'm going to need these things when I come back, so that they're not taken by surprise.
Yeah.
They can do their own research. They can find out what they need to do for you to make you comfortable.
Keep that communication open.
Yes.
And hopefully then you can get the best experience possible.
Yeah, definitely.
One of the other things I didn't realize when I went back to the work the first time was how much stuff you have to bring.
Yeah.
You basically, and I don't know if you've seen those memes of like the guy carrying the giant suitcase, and it's like, oh, just a lactating mom going to work, going to work, carrying all our pump supplies. It is so much stuff.
Yes.
And it is important to note that most insurance companies are required by law to cover the cost of a breast pump.
Yes.
Now, it varies significantly from plan to plan what type of breast pump they'll cover and how much money they will cover towards it and that type of thing. So definitely look into that before you have your baby.
Yes, definitely.
And figure out what breast pump your insurance company will cover. And also talk to a lactation specialist and learn about the different types of pumps that are even available, because there's so many different kinds. But one thing to consider is how many parts it has.
And how easy it is or isn't to clean.
Yes, to
clean. That was huge for me.
And to set up. If you're going to have to be pumping at work multiple times a day, you need it to be a fast, quick setup that's easy to do.
Yeah.
Because like we said, it's a limited amount of time you're going to be given to pump. And you don't want to be wasting a bunch of it by just setting up your pump to begin with.
Right, right. Definitely. I think kind of to go along with that, I think it's important to let people know, of course, break out that pump before you go back to work.
Yeah,
really
learn
get
how
comfortable.
To use it.
Yes, get comfortable with it, because it is with, you know, different parts come with different pumps, and you don't want to spend the first 10 minutes trying to figure out, okay, how does this work and all of that. So
definitely
do that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, one thing I learned after my second go around here was, it was a huge time saver, is if you have access to a refrigerator, keep your pump parts in a bag and just put all of your pump parts in the refrigerator between your pumping sessions.
Yes.
You don't need to clean them every time.
Right.
Just store them in the fridge and then pull them out for your next session.
Yeah. Milk.
Huge time saver.
Exactly. You know, human milk lasts at room temperature, I think they say now, for like 6 to 8 hours or something like this. I mean, optimally 4 hours at least.
Right.
But yeah, you have it in the fridge for days. And so you don't have to wash those every single time. If you're going right back in 3 hours, what the heck?
Yeah,
I wouldn't do that.
The other thing that really helped me, I learned a lot after my first.
Yeah.
And one thing I realized was I was not hydrated. I just simply wasn't hydrated. So after my second baby, I really focused on drinking tons and tons of water.
Yes.
While I was at work, I think while we're working, we tend to, you know, we get lost in the work that we're doing, and we forget to even drink, and oftentimes forget to even eat.
Right.
And that can, you know, really hinder your lactation. So
yeah,
keep that water bottle handy.
Absolutely. I think, and also another thing that was pivotal for me, you had kind of referred to it a little bit, relaxation techniques were huge for me.
I had to be in the zone.
Yes, yes, definitely. And for me, it was just as simple as grabbing my phone and having like a Netflix show that I really enjoyed and take my mind off of it. That would work fine. Mm-hmm. I know some people have looked at pictures or videos of their children.
I had to do that.
Yeah.
It was actually recommended to me by a lactation consultant to video my baby crying, like right before they wanted to nurse, and watch that video. If you're having anxiety and you're struggling to have a letdown while you're in your pumping session, you can look at that video, and oftentimes that elicits your letdown response.
That's so amazing.
It worked wonders for me.
That was something that really helped me, was just kind of getting my head out of the moment and just relaxing as well. So,
yeah. And along the lines of having so many items with your pump, we're talking we got flanges and tubing and valves and bottles and bags. And
yes.
So many things. Pack your bag the night before.
Yes.
What a time saver, because the last thing you want to be doing is rushing around the house trying to get yourself ready, your baby ready, and your pumping bag ready. And heaven forbid you forget a key item.
I'm not going to say the amount of times I had to call my husband or a friend and say, I need you to run to my house and grab whatever for me. I left it, you know, because, you're half awake in the morning when you're, you know, if you have older kids, especially getting them off to school and everything. I have left parts behind, and nothing really hits that pit of your stomach quite like that.
Because there are parts of the pump you absolutely cannot go without.
Yes.
Yeah. We have all been there. We have all been there.
Yeah. Another thing that really helped me when I went back after having my first nursling was when I would drop him off at daycare, I would actually sit in a rocking chair at the daycare and feed him before I left for the day.
Yes.
That was one less pupping session that I had to do for the day. And it just kind of cleared my mind that much more. Likewise, when I would go pick him up, it would be about time then for him to eat, sit in that same chair, feed him before we go home.
Yes.
And then you don't have that rush of, okay, I'm home, I got to cook dinner, I got to feed the baby, all of the things.
I did the same thing, but not until my second baby. I didn't even think about it with my first one.
Yeah.
And I was very pleasantly surprised by the warm welcome at our daycare. Of course you can feed your baby. You know, it was like, no. Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. They're probably happy they don't have to feed them then.
Probably. And we actually switched daycares shortly after my second one was born. And then I did the same thing at the second daycare. And it was just like, that's go for it, mom.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think, too, for me, I have quite a drive to work. It's about 30 minutes from where we are to where I work. And so if I was running late or whatever the reason, if I wasn't able to feed him, then I'm hooking myself up in the car and pumping on the way to work, which is not ideal. You don't, you know, God forbid you should get in an accident or something while you're doing that. But I know it does happen. People do it quite often.
Yep.
Just to try to save that time, kill two birds with one stone, as they say.
Yeah, and they make those hands-free pumps now. I never used one, but man, they look fancy.
Yeah, I didn't get one of those.
No. they just go right into your bra. You can't even tell when people are wearing them. I think they're incredible. I mean, if I had one of those, I probably would have pumped to and from work as well.
Well, not only that, but, I haven't seen one real live close up, but they tout even sitting at your desk working while you're pumping.
I know.
That's amazing.
I just leave that thing on there all day.
Just shut it off in between sessions.
Probably not recommended. Ask your lactation consultant.
Exactly. Please don't take that as gold. We don't know what we're doing. I think that, you know, being able to feed your baby before and after, much easier than trying to strap yourself in. And then if you have to get a car adapter to be able to, you mm-hmm. know, if your pump doesn't have, my pump didn't have a battery backup.
Yeah,
so,
neither did mine. Yeah.
Yeah. Another option, speaking of the whole traveling the pumps back and forth, with my last baby, I had kept my pump, my older pump, at mm-hmm. home.
Yes.
And I had kept my newer pump at work, and that helped out a lot, too.
Yes.
I did have to still worry about carrying the bottles back and forth, but it was a lot easier than mm-hmm. trucking the whole thing around, for sure.
Yes. And last, I think probably the most important step is if you're struggling in any way, seek support.
Yes.
There are people out there trained to help lactating parents. We have lactation counselors. We have, you know, IBCLCs out there. So, you know, go into your community, reach out and get the support from them because they can be lifesavers. If lactation is really your goal, extended lactation, you know, whatever your goals are, they are an incredible resource that I think everybody, well, one, I think everybody should, anyone who's lactating should mm-hmm. automatically get to see, yes. you know, a professional support postpartum. But if you're going back to work and you're struggling, reach out to the resources in your community because they can really help you.
And if you need help locating a lactation consultant or anybody, I, for me personally, just reached out to my pediatrician mm-hmm. and they were able to point me to some people that they worked with that they had good success with.
Yeah.
And that was definitely, I struggled with my first with lactation. We were not successful. But definitely that was the change. That was the difference with my second, third. So I think that's amazing. That's great yeah. advice.
And here in Omaha, actually we have a nonprofit that provides free return to work lactation classes for anybody, and they're led by lactation professionals, and they'll teach you all the tips and tricks. They will you know, really help you through that journey, and I think yes. that's incredible. So definitely look out for those types of classes in your community too.
Yes. So all in all, I think it's important to note that returning back to work and pumping can be very stressful if you let it, but arming yourself with the knowledge that you need will make this a successful transition for you and your family.
Mm-hmm.
I think just going in, communicating with your boss and your coworkers, letting them know what you need so that they know how to support you the best is going to be one of the best things you can do for yourself.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Baby Weight Podcast. Join us next time when we talk about maternal mental health with special guest Becky Baruth, a certified perinatal mental health professional and postpartum doula.